Who looks pretty? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Who looks pretty? Well, I look pretty. When I look in the mirror, I see all sorts of happy faces on me. I see all sorts of bright eyes. I see all sorts of smiling, shiny hair and glorious complexion. I see all sorts of beautiful things. And then when I look at a photograph of me, I see things that aren't there. I see all sorts of things that aren't there. I see my eye half closed. I see my lip dropping as though I'm, you know, whatever. And it's not right. My mirror is a better reporter to me than my camera. Now, how can I make my camera a better reporter to me like my mirror is? Well, my camera will be a better reporter to me when I don't take pictures, because then I won't have those still examples of me, because I am not dead. Did you know that? I am not dead. I'm very much alive. And when I look in the mirror, I see my face doing all sorts of gyrations and all sorts of movements and so forth. And it's alive and it's sparkling and it's dynamic and it's fun. Sometimes it's kind of sad and sometimes it's kind of glad. But always it's me. And I am a vital, dynamic, alive person. Now, some people are photogenic. Now, what does the word photogenic mean? It means that they are able to capture in their expression the mobileness, the fluidity of their being. That's quite special, you know. Are you a photogenic person? And yes and no. Yes and no. Why are movie stars chosen as photogenic people? Because a movie star thinks of the full scope of the emotion that they're thinking about and express it in their face. Oh, yeah, ah, eh. You know, you're afraid to. You are afraid to. I'm afraid to. We are not accustomed to being a representation of our emotions in our face. We try to hide it. We try to hide who we are. We try to pretend that we are not who we are. And because we try to do that, then we are tight like a drum. Then we are not photogenic. A photogenic person is a person who, no matter when you shoot their picture, they are them, and they're lovely. They may be crying, but they're photogenic. They may be laughing, they're photogenic. They may be shouting, they're photogenic. They may be angry, they're photogenic. It all comes right out. It's a magnificent portrayal in their face of who they are. Now, that's what you see when you look in the mirror. When you look in the mirror, you look at yourself, hi, you know, and nobody's looking. And if somebody else is looking, while you're looking in the mirror, you don't look in the mirror. You just look at your hair that you're combing, or you look at your eyes that you're plucking, or whatever you're doing, and you don't look in the mirror to see you. You just look in the mirror to do something. Now, how can we live our life photogenically? Well, we can live our life photogenically by doing one thing, by liking ourselves. If I like myself, then what happens? If I like myself, I'm going to be myself. And I don't care what anybody says or thinks or does. I'm going to be myself. Now, Ellen looks at a picture and she says, I like this picture. I think we should use this picture of you. And I look at the picture and I say, I don't like that picture. It doesn't say to me, in looking at it, what I want it to say. And Ellen says, well, then take some pictures. And so I take some pictures, and I find a picture that I like. And Ellen says, but I like this one. Well, now, Ellen should not judge what other people like about themselves. Because we each look at a picture, and we each look at a picture to see if it's a representative of the person that we think we are. Now, I think I am a happy person most of the time. I think I'm a smiling person most of the time. I think I'm a person who's got joy in his heart most of the time. I think I am, like, if not most of the time, it's all the time. And I think that I've always got a twinkle in my eyes. Sam Agabwa, wonderful guy down in Nigeria. Every time I look in his eyes, they'd be twinkling at me. Sam had the ability to twinkle with his eyes whenever he, And you know, and I thought to myself, that's a lesson I can learn. That's a lesson I can learn. I can be twinkly-eyed like Sam Agabwa, you know. And Sam Agabwa went off to the next dimension. He took his twinkly eyes with him, but not the ones that I remember. Because I remember those twinkly eyes, and I'm thinking to myself, that's a lesson for me. That's something I can learn to do, is be twinkly-eyed. So that when people look at me, have you ever seen a person, and you looked at them, and you wondered why you were drawn to them? Why are you attracted to them? And then you realize that their eyes were alive. Their eyes were not only alive, they were moist. Their eyes weren't crying, but their eyes were moist. Their eyes were filled with life. They filled with vitality, filled with movement and energy and viscosity and all that sort of good stuff. And as you look at them, you think to yourself, ooh, hey, man, that person has really got it. Now, you may not appreciate that person. You may not appreciate what they're doing. You may not appreciate their point of view. You may not appreciate that they're so damn good and their eyes are so beautiful, you know, and that they're so sparkling. But you can't ignore it. You can't ignore that they've got something with that wet, moist, sparkly, vital, dynamic, living eyes. Now, our eyes are a portrayal of who we are. And when I look at Ingeborg, and I see Ingeborg's eyes looking sad, I think to myself, oh, come on now. And so I take my thumb and I jam it in her ribs, and she giggles, and ouch, that hurts, you know, but she giggles, you know. And her eyes sparkle, and all of a sudden I turn on that fluid in her eyes, and it's just running over, and she's just alive and dynamic and vital and everything. And Sylvia says, I don't like that picture. I don't like that picture. Their pictures are photographically ideal. The expression on her face is photographically ideal. Everything is ideal. But why doesn't Sylvia like the picture that we've taken? Because her eyes are not alive. Her eyes are not alive. She is dead inside. Now, Sylvia is dead inside occasionally. Whenever Sylvia feels unhappy, when she feels hurt, when she feels things aren't going her way, she turns off her flame inside. She turns off her fire. She turns off her aliveness in her eyes, and she's dead. And many people do this. Many people do this, and it's a terrible thing to do, because that's the very ideal of you. You can be tolerated. If you have alive eyes, sparkly eyes, you can be tolerated for anything. I was looking at Sam, and Sam says, I want to die, and I want to go, because I'm done. And he says, I'm not going to take my medicine anymore, I'm not going to take my pills, I'm not going to take my pain pills or anything. He's because I want to go. And I said, Sam, that's up to you. I said, but you don't have to go in pain or something. He said, but if I don't do this, I'll hang around longer, you know. And I said, I understand. And so Sam looked at me with his sparkly eyes. He was alive inside. His eyes were sparkling away. And he was saying, like a twinkle eye, you know, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I've lived a good life. I've done good things. I'm ready to go. And people are like that. People are like that. I've had dogs who were ready to die, and they were told that they were blind, and they were told that they were this and that, and they had everything under the sun. But the minute I said to the dog, okay, we're going to put you to sleep now, and so all of your worries and all your problems are over. And at that moment, I looked into the dog's eyes, and they were alive and sparkly, They were fluid. They were happy. And though they were unseeing eyes, because he was so blind, they were unseeing. He was happy. And he licked my hand and he said, "Thank you," you know. Now, do things like that really happen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Sam didn't lick my hand. but Sam held my hand, and he twinkled. And he twinkled, and I told Sybil this, too, but Sybil wasn't hearing it. But the thing is, Sam twinkled in his eyes before he left. And many of us die too soon, you know. The twinkle goes out of our eyes long before it should. We should have that twinkle in our eyes. We should have that moisture in our eyes. When you look at a movie star, their eyes are fluid. Their eyes are magic. You're riveted almost to their eyes. When you watch Harry Potter, you don't even see him. What do you see? The face. You don't see the body. You don't see what he's doing with his wand and what he's doing with this and that. And you're looking at his face, and his face has that persuasiveness about him. It has those eyes that are so penetrating and so intensive, and yet they're not angry. They're not hurt. They're not anything, but they're inquisitive. They're inquisitive. I guess that's a real good word for it. And when we can have inquisitiveness in our eyes, in ourselves, in our life, this is what I want the pictures that are taken of me to show. Now, if I don't shine it out at you, you can't take a picture of it. You know? And when I try to take a picture of myself, I'm doing too many things at once, and I'm not getting the right angles of it, and they look terrible. So, I look at the pictures of some people, like, for instance, in commercials or in ads, and they have pictures of people on the Skype, on using it, and they have pictures on the Apple of people who are using the Apple for taking pictures of themselves and talking back and forth and stuff like that. And what glorious faces, what glorious pictures, what glory. And the father and son are looking at the mama who is on the other end of the line, you know, and they got that beautiful expression. And mama, too, has the beautiful expression. Well, now, were these natural expressions that took place at that moment, or did they shoot 50 or 60 shots before they finally got it to really sparkle through like that? And then after a while, you learn how to do that on call. That's why good photographic models can do it on call. They know just how to pose their bodies or poise their bodies. They know just how to sparkle their eyes. They do just how to, in Harry Potter, they had the three different schools there, the Chalice of Fire or whatever they call it. And the girls from the girls' school came marching in, and they were all attractive girls, and they were beautifully dressed in full dresses, and they were charming. But at each, they would go three or four steps, and then they'd throw their heads to the right, and they'd look at the people there and say, you know, they'd give them that girly attitude, you know, aren't we wonderful? We're girls, you know. And you couldn't help but think to yourself, my God, they're good, you know. And they don't want something. They don't want something. That was taught to them to do that as part of their show. And then the boys from the boys' school came in, and they were macho. And they had their stake that they thumped on the ground, and it sparked and did all sorts of things. And they were macho, you know. And they spun these things around and did these things like the Marines at the Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C. They have certain ceremonies where they throw their guns up in the air and whirl them around, have them come down in a very militaristic, very disciplined way. Well, these are things that not only can be learned, but they can be demonstrated. Now, what would happen if you were to learn how to have sparkle in your eyes? What if you were to learn how to have moisture in your eyes, not from crying, not from feeling sorry or sad for something, but just moisture in your eyes because you were alive, you were vital? You could train yourself to do this. You don't have to use drops to have moisture in your eyes. Some movie actors are so exquisite they can cry without having drops put in their eyes, you know. Other movie actors, they have to put a little bit of an irritant drop in their eye, which causes the eye to cry, and so that it was caused, but it was real. They really were crying, and their eyes were irritated. And now, how can we train ourselves to be this person who has a twinkle in their eye, like Sam did all the time, who has an attitude in their self of being themselves and having fun? Little children are like this. You look at little children and they have that mischievous look in their eyes. They have that mischievous look on their face. That's the twinkle in their eyes. That's the twinkle. That's being themselves. They think, yeah, I wonder, you know, did I get around to this? And we want to learn how to do that. And as we look in the mirror, we can learn to relax ourselves. We can learn to do all sorts of things. I like so many movie stars, they do the gesticulations with their face in the mirror. Well, we want to do it a little differently. We want to look in the mirror and we want to say, I like me. I like me. I like me. You get a big smile on your face. I like me. You know, like it's incredulous almost. And I like me. And just keep saying it. Get over the hill. And I like me. And I say it for about an hour. You know, and I like me. And I like me. I'm a very wonderful person. I'm very intelligent. I like me. I am beautiful. I'm fantastic. I'm glorious. I like me. What's beautiful about you? Not your face, your eyes. What's beautiful about you? Your attitude, your charisma. That's the beauty of you. Because you look at some of these movie actresses and actors and you think to yourself, they're not beautiful, they're not pretty, but what charisma they have. What magic they have inside. It has nothing to do with good looks. Really. You look at a lot of these good actors and top actors, they're really not beautiful people. They're not Clark Gables, you know. They're not Myrna Loy's, and they're not people who are beauty queens, you know. But they are people who got charisma and magic. And if we will stand before the mirror for an hour each day and say, this is not a joke, and say, I like me, I like me, I like me, and start to give ourselves the twinkle of our eye, you know, like the kids do with that mischievous attitude, we will develop within us the charisma that the movie stars have, but more, we will develop that as a natural thing, as the movie stars do, as a natural thing. Now, you can be sure that somewhere along the line, the movie stars who were not all that good looking trained themselves to recognize, but I'm good. I know the role. I know how to do this. I know I can put across the point. And have you ever seen a movie where they showed the movie actress who was a blah, blah, good, neat person, you know, and her stand-in was, leave it alone, her stand-in was an ordinary person, was just an ordinary person, Helen. Her stand-in was an ordinary person. Now, what happened? When the movie star was not available, the stand-in went on. Did anyone notice that it was the stand-in?
No.
Because she had the charisma of the person that she was portraying, and no one even noticed that it was a different person. Now, Bewitched changed husbands, and there's a difference.
Yes.
There's a difference, but the thing is, it wasn't a glaring difference. He had pretty much the same charisma. It's just that he read the part differently than the previous man. And because he read the part differently, he had to be himself. Now, if he didn't fight so much for having to be himself, and was the part, if you're going to play Othello, you're going to play Othello. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to play Herb Byerly. You can't get up there, and then you can't get up there and play Vanetti, you know. You can't go up there and play Vanetti. You can't go up there and play Mattia. You got to play Othello. And so you take the charisma of Othello and play it. And this is what we want to learn to do. And you say, Herb, you're trying to make us change, aren't you? No. I am suggesting that each one of us has a charisma within us, our own personal charisma, that we haven't really released, we haven't really expressed, we haven't really lived, and now is the time to start doing it. And you and I, both, all, would be greatly surprised to know what our real charisma is. And our real charisma is like Sam's sparkling eyes. Sam would go around to all of the people in Nigeria, all of the legislators, all of the kings, and all of the supervisors and the people of importance. And as he would talk to them, they would respect him because of the twinkle in his eye, and they would respect him because he never gave advice. He merely said, "This is how I would look at that," and then let them look at it however they would. He was a very noble person in guiding the government of Nigeria, and his guidance continues. Now, if you were to die, would your guidance continue? Have you shown your charisma? Have you shown your sparkle in your eyes? Have you shown the fluidity of your eyes, the reality of who you are, to your world? So that we will say, when Ingeborg is gone, we'll say, well, that's just what Ingeborg would have loved to have done. That's just what Ingeborg loved to do. That's just how Ingeborg loved to express it, you know, as a good and beautiful thing. Now, in a couple hundred years, when she moves on, we'll say that about her. But wouldn't it be wonderful if people talked about your charisma instead of talking about your personality, which may or may not have been so cool, you know? Yeah. Think about it. Let your eyes talk now. Just be honest with yourself. You could see a naked person, and you look over their naked body and you say, naked person. And the next thing you do is what? Do you go to their genitals? No. You go to their face. You go to their face. Because their face is where their magic is. You don't look at a muscle man, you look at his muscles for a moment, and then you go to his face and say, what kind of person is inside that muscle man? You know? Everything in life, you go to the face. Now, you don't go to the face. Where?
To the soul.
You go to the eyes. The eyes are the window of the soul. The eyes are the window of the soul, we say. So, you go to the eyes. Now, just remember that. So, I recommend to each of us that instead of taking the long journey from toes to eyes, we go directly to the eyes, to the windows of the soul. And in that window, we see what?
The sparkle of life.
We see the reflection of ourself. We see the reflection of ourself. So if we are beautiful, revealed, outstanding, charismatic people, then that person will be that way, even if that person is the dullest person on earth to other people. You know? To one person, a child may be a little terror, and to another person, a child's mischievous, and to another person, the child's a genius, and to another person, the child's a dullard, and to another person, the child is superior beyond measure. You know? It all depends on who the person is who's looking.
Yeah, that's true.
But all of that dwells within them. Yeah. So, let us sparkle like Sam and say, thank you, Sam. We will sparkle like you, and we will share who you are and what you are in ourself, being ourself and having fun. So, look in the mirror for an hour each day for just 1 week. I don't care if you do it longer, but just 1 week, and watch the change that takes place in you, where you thought you were one person and you really are another. So, have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.